Go behind the wheel and under the hood on everything automotive with high-speed stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Scott, I got to tell you, we're going to try something a little bit different today. I've got to ask you questions not related to cars.
Not related to cars, okay.
Not yet, not entirely.
Okay.
Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Now take this seriously, because it sounds like a joke. Would you say you're a person who believes in the supernatural?
No. I didn't even hesitate, did I?
No, not at all.
You know, I just don't.
You don't? So
no,
none
really
of
don't.
It?
No, I gotta say I don't. I've just never been a believer in that.
So psychics, telepathy.
No, werewolves, I'm not up for the palm readings or anything like
King,
that.
King Tut's curse.
No.
What about the James Dean curse?
That falls right in line with this, but no, I don't think.
You're not really.
I don't think I buy it, but I got to tell you, there's some really interesting things that go along with it that are, you know, undeniable things that have happened that are hard to explain. And, you know, we're going to talk about them, but they, again, they're just, they're difficult to explain, but I don't believe in the mm-hmm. curse.
I see where you're coming from. We'll catch our folks up to speed real quick. What?
Well.
Oh, you're not going to let me slide.
No, I'm not going to let you slide turnabout here. So what do you think? You believe?
Oh, man. Okay. This is going to sound like such a ride the fence answer, but I'm being 100% honest with you. I believe that a lot of the things society thinks are supernatural do exist in some form, but I believe that we will eventually be able to explain them. So for me, for instance, you know, what was one of the examples you used? I just said telepathy, for mm-hmm. instance, or something like that.
King Tut's curse.
Okay, King Tut's curse even. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe something like that exists, and maybe all the effects we perceive are accurate, but I think the underlying causes are discernible. Mm-hmm. And I think they're maybe not as scary or supernatural as we believe.
Okay, I'll put you down for a no. Okay, let's go on to the... Okay.
No, you got me. Yeah. Put me down for a no. Put okay. me down for a no. No curses from Scott and Ben.
Well, you're saying no eventually. Right now, you're saying that it's hard to explain. I don't know how it happens, but maybe we'll come up with a way to explain it away.
Right. Like, okay. let's... I mean, not to get too tangential, but if you're in the Middle Ages, mm-hmm. you travel through time, and you go and see a television where Lord of the Rings is on HBO, it's going to rock your world, and you're going to think it's magic, you know?
Yeah, I can understand.
Or if
that.
You hop in a car, or if you hop in a Porsche, it doesn't have to be cursed.
Okay. I see where you're going.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we're going with James Dean.
Yeah, we mentioned it earlier, and yeah. I'm sure a lot of listeners have probably have a little bit of knowledge about this, so they're thinking to this point, what are these guys talking about? Why are they talking about curses? And mm-hmm. Why are you talking about supernatural things happening? Well, if you know anything about James Dean, he was killed in a car wreck in 1955, and his car is said to be cursed. Now, that's kind of an odd thing to say, and we'll figure it all out in a moment here. But
sure.
I guess we should start at the beginning, and we'll just kind of logically go through this thing and figure out, you know, who he was, how he was killed, what the curse entails, and mm-hmm. you know, where is this car now and what's it up to?
Okay, yeah.
If you want to say it that way, that's
really good.
So that's kind of a funny way to say it, but you know, where is it?
So very quickly, James Dean was a famous actor who was only in a few movies, the most famous of which was probably Rebel Without a Cause. Mm-hmm. And when he died in this car accident with his racing Porsche. Well, I say Porsche, you say Porsche.
Well, so. Either one. We'll probably go back and forth. We've talked about this. Yeah.
When he died, he was quite young.
Yeah, he was 24.
24, yeah. Which is younger than both of us.
Yep, that's right. And he was with his mechanic at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And they wrecked head-on into another vehicle in Salinas, California. This happened September 30th, 1955. He was actually headed to a race in that car. Back roads in Salinas, California. He was headed down the highway, probably. Well, he was going too fast, really, because he was supposedly in the break-in period for this new racing Porsche that he had, and he was headed to a race
mm-hmm.
Again with his mechanic. The guy headed the other direction, turned left in front of them, you know, to turn onto a side road, and they collided. Dean was killed at the scene. I guess he lived a few minutes after the wreck, but not long.
Sure.
The mechanic was thrown from the car and lived, and the other driver was just, you know, slight injuries, nothing major at all.
Mr. Turnipseed.
Yeah, that's right, Turnipseed. Yeah, that's a strange name, huh?
So what happens to this car after the accident?
Okay, here's where this gets a little nuts.
Okay. This is where the curse begins.
Yeah, this is where the curse begins, and I'm going to go through this kind of in a chronological order here because some unusual happenings.
Okay.
And stuff that's pretty difficult to explain away. Coincidence, sure, but it just seems like you get to a point where how much more can happen around this vehicle. And you'll understand what I mean as we get to it here. And you can stop me at any point. Now, after the wreck, and there's some things that happened before the wreck that we'll talk about later, too. There's some ironic twist to this whole thing. So after the wreck, now, the Porsche is the Spyder is a rear-engine vehicle. So that's important to know because the accident was a head-on collision. The back end of the car was relatively decent shape, salvageable.
Mm-hmm.
Someone, you know, they could buy the parts, and this was a rare racing Porsche, so it's
very
high
end, right?
Yeah, this is one of I think five that was delivered to the States at the time in that year. So very rare. The motor and transaxle were purchased by Dr. Estrich, and Dr. Estrich was also a racer at the time, a sports car racer that was big in Southern California at the time, sports car racing. He used the engine in a Lotus car. He placed it in his own vehicle. He loaned other parts to another doctor that he knew, Dr. Troy McHenry. Okay, now 13 months later, 13 months after he, you know, purchased the stuff, McHenry was killed in a car wreck in a race where his car smashed into a tree. Now, not terribly unusual. However, now he had, you know, parts from the Dean car in his car.
Mm-hmm.
At the time. In the same race, on the same day, in a separate accident, Dr. Estrich was also what they just said severely injured in an accident, also using parts from this Dean vehicle.
13 months later.
This is 13 months later, and this is on the exact same day, same race, and both cars happen to have parts from Dean's, you know, death car, I guess, if you want to call it that, the Porsche Spyder.
Let's play detective. I'm going to be taking some notes while we're doing
okay.
This. Okay.
Right, sure. I mean, you can feel free to shoot holes in any of this because I'm sure there's, you know, angles you can take on all this. But now as for the body of the car.
Uh-huh.
Okay, well, that's kind of the start of this whole thing. That's where everybody kind of said, well, that's a little unusual, you know, that Dean was killed in this accident, and here, you know, these parts are used, and what do you know, another race car driver killed, another one injured.
Mm-hmm.
So this is where it all starts. And from here, it gets even stranger. George Barris, who we've talked about in previous podcasts.
Yes, the architect of many popular and iconic vehicles.
That's right, Hollywood. He builds a lot of movie cars.
Mm-hmm.
George Barris bought the car body, and he took it on tour with the National Safety Council. Now, the National Safety Council was, you know, using this vehicle, you know, kind of showing students, young kids, what, you know, what speed could do, I guess, because James Dean was such an influential character at the time,
mm-hmm.
that a lot of people were really upset by this whole thing, of course, and, you know, they you know, saw him in Rebel Without a Cause, and, you know, that was kind of someone to look up to. Well, look what happens if you speed on the highway. You know, here's this smashed up car, and look what happened. Don't let this happen to you, type thing, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I over-explained that, but
no, it makes sense.
So he bought this just really destroyed shell of a car.
Just mangled.
The Porsche Spyder. And it went on tour. When the car was delivered to Barris's shop in California, it fell off. This is just when it's being delivered. It fell off of the dolly that was being carried on and crushed the legs of the attendant that were that was there. And, you know, of course, broke his legs. So that's kind of another strike against this thing, right? Just kind of a bad luck. You know, that can happen, I guess, but again, here we are talking about, you know, Dean's death car.
Mm-hmm.
Strange. So the vehicle goes on tour, and there are actually a number of really odd occurrences that happen on tour. Now, I've heard of, you know, the vehicle actually rolled off the stand and crushed a student. I don't know how injured the student was, or, you know, if the student was killed or whatever. But there are a lot of varying remarks that have been made about this thing.
Are they anecdotes?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if some of them are, you know, just piling on, you know, saying that, oh, yeah, and I heard it happen, you know, this happened as well.
Sure.
This is a pretty good list that was compiled from, you know, Barris who was the owner of the car at the time, mm-hmm. said this is what happened. So we're going with this, you know, okay. as being factual to a point. I mean, he's not with it the whole time. We'll, you know, but you get reports of what happened to this vehicle anyways.
Okay.
Have I explained that enough away?
That's awesome. No,
so
yeah.
this car is still on tour at the National Safety Council. All right. It's stored in a garage in Fresno, California. Okay. And now remember, just stored in a garage. The garage burns down that this thing is stored in.
Weird.
And now, this is the weird part. I think that the car, that Dean's car, was unharmed. Every other car or every other vehicle that was in there or whatever was in that garage is destroyed. The car is left unharmed. So that's a little odd. Right?
That is odd,
okay,
yeah.
Strange. All right. But it happens, you know. Garages uh-huh. burn down, so you can argue with that.
And
way.
The vehicle might not look as damaged because it was already a wreck.
Yeah, that's right. You know, I guess it would be charred. You know, it would. You know,
yeah.
If it was in a vehicle or a, you know, whatever, mm. in a building that burned down. All right. Later, the car's being transported back to, get this, Salinas, California, where the original accident happened. The driver has the vehicle on, you know, it's been on this tour. The driver has it on a flatbed in the back of a truck, and the truck, now this is the report, the truck skidded. The driver was thrown from the truck and then crushed by the car that was on the flatbed. So the car
wow.
that was on, so the mm-hmm. again, Dean's car crushes another person and kills him.
This is starting to sound like the plot of Christine.
It's a little odd, isn't it? I mean, it really is strange. Now, a lot of coincidences. Now, I don't know if I've ever heard of another car where this type of thing has happened. Okay, later, this is much later. This is kind of the end of it, I guess, here, really. But in 1958, again, still owned by Barris, the car was in Florida, somewhere in Florida. I don't remember which city.
Mm-hmm.
It was loaded onto a truck for transport. I'm assuming that it was a covered truck because of what happened. The truck arrives in California at Barris's shop 8 days later, and they open it up, and the truck is empty. The car is gone, missing.
The spider's gone. Spider's left the convoy. That's crazy.
That's right. It's gone. The body of James Dean's Porsche Spider is missing. And to this date, Ben, they have never been able to locate that body. They don't know where it is. And I watched a video, I think it was a YouTube video, a person that's a historian, someone who, you know, mm-hmm. looks into this thing, you know, deeply, you know, a Porsche historian, said that he has never come across anybody that claims to have a part of that car as a souvenir. So, you know, if somebody did take it from there, you know, as to piece it out for, you know, for money,
sure.
you know, because it'd be very valuable, souvenir hunters, no one has ever claimed to have a piece of that car. You know, that body from that car that disappeared in 1958.
Which is really an anomaly if you think about it, because so much time has passed.
Yeah.
It's been more than 50 years now. Somebody mm-hmm. would have turned...
You would think so.
Okay, man. So. Before, I know you said we've got some Twilight Zone moments before it happened.
Yeah, but there's one...
There's
one
more?
Tiny little thing here. And
what happened?
Well, there's still... There's really no occurrence here yet that
okay.
I know of, and... This is from that video that I watched, this YouTube video.
Sure.
The transaxle ended up in the hands of a Porsche collector. His name is Jack Stiles in Boston. And he has restored a Porsche Spider, exactly like Dean's, the same model. Using that transaxle, he can tell, you know, which one it is because of the code that's stamped on it, the number.
Uh-huh.
And he's using it for racing, so I guess we'll see what happens. And I don't know if anything has happened, because this video looked like it was an older video that I
okay.
watched. I don't know if he has had any kind of an accident or occurrence in that vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
I just haven't heard about it.
See, okay, and before we go to the strange things that happened before the accident,
mm-hmm.
I do want to say, yes, I completely agree. That is spooky, especially the disappearance,
mm-hmm.
and especially the way the information is positioned, because that would be, let's see, that would be a total of three deaths, counting Dean, right? There's Dean, the doctor, and then there is the truck driver.
Yes.
Okay, but I would also, except for the case of the truck driver, the two deaths there, we have to consider, I discount the doctor's death a little bit, as well as the other doctor's injuries, because it sounds, for people who really believe in this kind of stuff, it could sound like it really happened because of some supernatural cause, but more likely it happened because all three of these men were driving very high performance, very fast vehicles mm-hmm. without some of the safety equipment that we have come to take for granted today.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about open cockpit racing in Southern California, sports car racing in the 1950s.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be surprised if they had more than a lap belt at the time.
Yeah.
I'd be surprised. They may have, but probably not.
And for the... yeah, so you see what I'm saying? It might be not to be a party pooper for, I guess, the curse enthusiast, but we should also consider that perhaps some of this information has been cherry-picked. How many... Now, we'll go into relative... Or not relativism, but we'll go into a kind of murky area of the argument. How many different stops for the National Safety Council did this shell make where no one was injured?
Yeah, yeah. Probably made much, I should say, many more stops mm-hmm. that, you know, that were incident-free mm-hmm. versus the ones where something happened. And I don't know if, you know, who knows how many that is over the years, because apparently it toured for years.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And if it disappeared in 1958, well, it was still on this tour.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about the initial incident, which was, I want to say, in 1956, but I'm
56.
Not entirely sure of that. Yeah, it could have made, I mean, a couple of hundred stops, maybe. I don't really know the schedule of the National Safety Council, you know, where it went, how often it, you know, mm-hmm. made moves. And I guess anytime you move something like that, there's a danger that it could fall on somebody. It could, you know, during shipping, it could have, you know, there could be some kind of incident that happens to
That's
any
fair.
Car.
Yeah, but then also the true believers, which I'll represent in case somebody's listening and getting mad about this, it is also true that there could have been a lot of injuries that we just haven't heard of.
That's true. Yeah, there could be
so
more.
So it goes both ways.
Yeah, and actually there are more smaller incidents here and there. Mm. It depends on which list you go by or who you know what information you look at, because mm-hmm. some are very detailed and have a lot more information than I gave you here today even.
Sure.
That, you know, there were a lot of injuries along the way that are associated with this car.
But unsubstantiated in some ways.
Yeah, yeah, sure, because, you know, that was just it's kind of self-sustaining. It feeds into itself. You know,
sure.
People say, "Oh, that car is cursed," and you know, things are happening around it. So you're watching for something to happen around it, you know, any little thing that happens around it, you know, that's attributed to that curse.
I could totally see. And some people say that's the same thing with King Tut's curse. You
but
know,
but you do have to admit. I mean, even what we just said,
it?
You
Where
do have
it?
To admit that those are some pretty interesting, I guess, circumstances that surround that vehicle.
Quite a stack of circumstances.
Yes, it is. I mean, I would challenge you to find another car. There may be, but I mean, it would be difficult to find another car that has a similar history.
We should do something on Urban Legends of Cars. That'd be fun.
And
but,
you know what? Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I'll tell you what maybe the most intriguing thing about this whole thing is, and we're not done yet. We'll have a little bit more to talk about, but the most intriguing thing about this whole thing to me is that car is still out there. Is that no one knows where that car is. It's like buried treasure. It's just that's exciting to me. It's like the you know, the barn find
of the century.
Well, yeah, or even better. I mean, just
yeah.
Where did it go? Because there's such mystery and such circumstance surrounding this car. It would be just unbelievable if someone were to turn up that car right now and find out where it had been this entire time.
Well, and yeah, what happened to? Because I'm sure Bears tried to find it. But if he didn't have any luck...
I don't know if he did or not, Ben. I mean, I'm just not sure. I mean, I would think that he would look into it, of course. You know, this is a valuable piece of property for him.
Sure.
But I don't know how much effort he put into finding it or if he really even did do that. I just can't say for sure.
Yeah, we're verging on to some very... I don't want to say paranormal. We won't say that yet. Curious stuff.
Yeah.
But tell me what happened, because you've already mentioned this to me before, but our listeners need to know about... what happened specifically, you know what I'm talking about, before Dean died.
Well, there are several things that happened before he died. One is that 2 weeks before he was killed, now remember the car went on tour with the National Safety Council. Mm-hmm. He did a PSA, public service announcement, on television for the National Safety Council.
Mm-hmm.
And he was shooting a film at the time. And so you can actually watch it online if you search for it, James Dean public service announcement. At the end of this, the last thing that he says in this public service announcement is, "Drive safely. The life you may save may be mine."
Drive safely, the life you save may be mine.
Yeah, and within this PSA, he's urging young drivers to take it easy on the road, because he's a race car driver and he really has no urge to speed on the highway. That, you know, he's done with that, because now he can do it in a safe place where he can, you know, he's in control. He knows what the other drivers are going to do. We're on the highway. He's unsure. You know, he just doesn't know what's going to happen around him. So he's urging young drivers to take it easy.
Okay. You know what? Maybe that is a coincidence, because it happens in an interesting arrangement chronologically. But I think, if anything, that's more, I guess, sad than it is unsettling, you know?
Understood. Yeah. Now, there's one other thing here. And searching through my notes here, but... you know, I'm just going to wing it.
Wing it.
Alec Guinness. You know who Alec Guinness is?
Alec Guinness is an actor, isn't he?
Yes. I eventually became Obi-Wan Kenobi. You may know him as Obi-Wan. Yeah. Okay. Alec Guinness. I guess throughout his career, he was able to tell this story. Now, this comes from Snopes. I read this in Snopes. You know what? Actually, I just found it in my notes here. But this is a week before Dean's death. So this is in between the PSA and Dean's death.
Okay.
That we just talked about.
Wow, in that 2-week space.
Okay, in that 2-week space. So here's another week later. There's a set of circumstances. Again, you can read about it on Snopes, find out, you know, what it was. But Alec Guinness and Thelma Moss were in Hollywood or wherever they were. I'm trying to think of where they were right now. It's not important. They came across James Dean.
Okay.
And Dean said, hey, come on over here. I'll share a table with you for dinner, you know, whatever. It was just kind of a casual meeting. They were happy. But as on their way back to the restaurant, James Dean says, hey, come here for a second. I want to show you something. And he shows him his brand new Porsche Spyder. And he had just received it. It was brand new, right? He had just got it.
Okay.
And they said, yeah, it looks pretty fast. He says, yeah, it'll do it about 150. You know, he was pretty proud of it. Alec Guinness takes one look at the car, and he says that he's sure that he's going to be killed in that car. I'll read it to you. He says, he could hardly recognize his own voice. This is Alec Guinness. He said, I could hardly recognize this as my own voice. Please never get in it. Yeah, he looked at his watch, and he said, it's now 10 o'clock, Friday the 23rd of September, 1955. If you get in that car, you will be found dead in it by this time next week. Now, that was, you know, a strange thing to say.
Sure.
No doubt. Now, Dean, of course, laughed it off, and he said, don't be so mean about it, you know, because it's a brand new car. He's very excited. 7 days later, at 5:45 p.m. on the 30th of September, 1955, he was killed in that car. So almost exactly to the moment that Alec said this.
Sure.
That's when it happened.
Okay. I'll give you that one.
Crazy.
I'll give you that one, Scott. That one's crazy.
Yeah. Okay. The day of his death.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's headed to this race. He was warned 4 times, according to one account, to slow down, take it easy on the road. He received a ticket from a police officer where he told him to slow down. There was someone in a diner that told him to slow down, that, you know, he wasn't, he was going too fast. And there were two other, and I forget who it was. I just don't remember. I apologize. But
sure.
4 times on the very day of his death, he was told, slow down. You know, you're going too fast. Mm-hmm. Something's going to happen. And so there's just incident after incident after incident where this is, you know, leading up to this guy's death, and it really does seem like it was almost inevitable.
Mm-hmm.
Like it could have been avoided, but it wasn't. It was fate, almost, is what it seems like.
It almost does seem like fate.
Yeah. And I got to tell you, I don't know if I have a whole lot more to share about this right now, but it's interesting to think that after this incident, is this car? I mean, the question is this car sinister in some way? Did it continue to kill after it killed James Dean, or can you say even that it killed James Dean? I mean,
right.
He was, of course, in charge of the car. The car didn't do anything on its
own. What we're really saying is this car cursed? For two people who are, to say the least, very skeptical about it, even it sounds like even we are saying that's weird.
A lot of coincidences, and like you said, a lot of this can be explained away, and of course, you know, there was a lot of questionable behavior surrounding all these circumstances.
Sure.
However, you know, I am a skeptic. I'm going to say I don't think the car is cursed.
Mm-hmm.
but I'm sure that there are a lot of believers out there, and for good reason. And if you look into it, who knows, you may be a believer as well.
And not all of it can be explained, as I think the strangest part. But for our listeners out there, thanks so much for tuning in again, you guys. Hope you enjoyed listening to this episode. And if you have any ideas, if there are any haunted or cursed cars that you'd like us to take a look at, please send us an email at highspeedstuff@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. And be sure to check out the High Speed Stuff blog on the HowStuffWorks.com homepage.